Simone delivers, breaking ball, hit on the ground through the left side, base hit. Escobar getting the wave home. Here's the throw, it's bobbled by P.A. Tried to throw it, couldn't release it, and Escobar scores standing up. The Blue Jays are in flight, Bautista back to first, it's 1-0 Blue Jays.
And that was all Ricky Romero would need. He takes it into the ninth, a four-hit shutout. And John Roush comes in to bail him out after a wild pitch on a strikeout, and a hit batsman puts the tying run at the plate. Roush gets Matt Wieters and Mark Reynolds to fly out to left field to complete the shutout. Blue Jays beat the Orioles 3-0. That's the play of the game, brought to you by Speed Boost from Rogers. Hello, Speed Boost. Goodbye waiting. Another first only from Rogers. Terrific game for the Jays tonight. J.P. Arencibia hits his 16th home run of the season, and Ricky Romero, a tour de force performance, especially after a shaky first couple of innings where he walked three guys, didn't walk another one, and taking it all the way to the ninth and struck out eight from that point on. He picks up the win. He is 8-9, his first win of the month of July. Roush comes on and gets the breathe-easy save, which was nice, especially on a day when the Blue Jays were playing with a very, very short bullpen. Only 22 guys in uniform for the Jays tonight because of the multitude of roster moves they made earlier today. First, they traded Jason Fraser and Zach Stewart to the Chicago White Sox for Edwin Jackson and Mark Tian. Then they flipped Jackson along with Octavio Dotel, Mark Zepchinski, and Corey Patterson, and three players to be named later or cash, to the St. Louis Cardinals, and came out of that with Colby Rasmus, Brian Tallett, Trevor Miller, and P.J. Walters. Rasmus, Miller, Walters, and Tian will all be here tomorrow night. Tallett is on the disabled list with an intercostal muscle strain and a kidney issue that's kind of scary. We hope that that's being worked out to the positive with Tallett, who's a wonderful guy. Can't wait to see him coming back here again. So the Blue Jays lose Jason Fraser, Mark Zepchinski, Octavio Dotel, Corey Patterson, and Zach Stewart in order to make this deal. I'm Mike Wilner. This is the Jays Talk, taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. We begin things with Jim in Toronto. Hey, Jim.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for calling.
I got a few things that I wanted to discuss with you. I'll try to be brief. The first one being, congratulations, Ricky Romero. That was a great game. I like to think of performances like these as him kind of retroactively earning his rightful spot on that All-Star roster, as opposed to sort of sneaking in the back door the way he did. Good job for him tonight. The other thing I just wanted to concur with you about the instant replay conversation that you guys were having earlier in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Major League Baseball's got a lot of smart guys working up there, and they should be able to figure out a way to get it done without slowing down the game. I think there's probably a million suggestions that they could take to make it work. And the last thing I wanted to talk to you about was just to ask you about all the trades that happened today. I was excited to hear about the additions that we got, and then I got a little more information about all the guys we gave up. And it was a pretty high price. I mean, we lost a lot of good bullpen guys, in my opinion anyway. I was especially disappointed to hear that Zepchinski is no longer a Blue Jay. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on whether or not, given the guys we gave up and whatnot, is this a high-risk trade, if you will? Is this something that, you know, has something of a potential to kind of backfire, or is this a pretty solid deal that most GMs would make?
I think the answer to both your questions is yes. I think every trade has a chance to backfire, and everything is a risk, especially when you're bringing over a 24-year-old who's currently not having such a great season. But I think this is a trade that every general manager in baseball would make if they were in the Blue Jays' position. The price that the Jays paid really was not that high. I mean, Jason Fraser and Octavio Dotel are nice relievers who aren't going to come back next year. And if Dotel had come back, it would have been... Well, they didn't want him. They were afraid that he might accept arbitration from them and that they wouldn't get that draft pick compensation. Zepchinski's a guy that you regret losing for sure, because he's become a quality reliever, although Sunday night, everyone was calling in the show, or Saturday night, looking to string him up. The truth of the matter is he's a good pitcher, but he's not a guy that you would blink about including in a trade for someone with the potential of Colby Rasmus. Zach Stewart could wind up being something, for sure. But the Blue Jays have a lot of depth in young pitching, bubbling up in the minor leagues, and he was a guy they could afford to trade. I think when you look at this deal, you can't really look at Dotel and Fraser. It's basically Stewart and Zepp for Colby Rasmus.
So in a situation where maybe Rasmus doesn't work out as well as we might hope, I mean, that this isn't going to be seen as a trade that's going to kind of sink the Blue Jays or anything like that.
No, of course not. Not at all.
Yeah, it's sometimes when you hear all of the guys that go another way, it kind of muddles it a little. But glad to get your thoughts on that.
No problem. Thank you for the call. And I know that there are people who are concerned about the bullpen that the Jays are giving up, and there's no question that it weakens the bullpen for the rest of the season. But that's not what's important. Ryan is in Burlington. Hey, Ryan.
Just want to comment on the crazy no-hitter today, too. That was crazy, one run.
That was crazy, yeah.
Weird. The trade, good move, I think. I think it weakens our bullpen for the immediate future.
Sure.
Who knows about the... Because I think Francisco's not going to be back unless he signed longer.
He's not.
For next year.
No, he's not signed for next year.
Roush probably won't be back.
Nope.
No, so right
but Fraser
now,
and Dotel weren't going to be back either.
I was going to say, what could you tell me about these guys they picked up? We all know about Talbot. It's just the other two guys.
Well, Trevor Miller used to play for the Blue Jays, too. But Miller's not a guy who is going to be a part of the future of this team either. P.J. Walters has a chance, but he seems to me to be a bit of a throw-in. I'm sure there's stuff about him that they like. They really really didn't talk about him much. But I don't think too many of these guys are going to be a part of the picture going too terribly forward.
Okay.
The bullpen was going to have to be rebuilt after this year, and it's still going to have to be rebuilt after this year.
And just one more quick point. Do you think it's going to be Rajay Davis that's going to get the playing time reduced? He's going to be a special
runner, I think he already has.
Pretty much.
I think Rajay Davis already has had his playing time reduced.
Even more now, because Rasmus was probably going to want to come in and be full-time center fielder pretty much, right?
Well, it doesn't matter what he wants, but the Blue Jays want him to be the full-time center fielder. Yeah, I think we'll see Rajay Davis playing basically the same sort of role. He'll get some work against left-handed pitchers, and he'll be a pair of legs off the bench when a right-handed pitcher starts, and that was basically, you know, what had been the deal with him over the last couple of weeks anyway.
Just think if Rajay could hit 260 and, you know, steal as many bases, he'd be a big piece if he could actually have his batting average stay up there with the way he can steal bases. I haven't seen someone steal like that in a long time.
Yeah, I don't know.
Blue Jay uniform.
I don't know if I've ever seen someone steal bases.
Well, Ricky, we had him, but
yeah, but you know what? Davis steals more bases per opportunity on base than Ricky Henderson did.
Yeah, because he played every day. Ricky Henderson, Davis gets his chances very rare, right?
Yeah, well, because of the 260 on base percentage, his chances have been very rare. And he's going to be a very nice pair of legs off the bench the rest of the way, and maybe somebody wants him, but I don't foresee the Blue Jays dealing him. Thanks for the call, Ryan. Appreciate it. Let's go to Russ in New Jersey. Russ.
Mike, good evening. This was a great, great trade for the Blue Jays. I, for the life of me, can't understand what the Cardinals were thinking. You know, you always talk about the risk reward factor, and the reward factor is tremendous with kid. I know La Russa didn't like him. That doesn't mean much to me.
That's what the Cardinals were thinking.
Yeah.
They were also thinking that they got a very good starting pitcher and two good relievers, and that might take them to the playoffs this year.
Yeah, but Rasmus has the potential. And
sure.
It's a big word of potential, but it's a big-time potential to be a great player.
Yes, he
and
does.
With that team not knowing if Pujols is going to come back, and I'm not saying he's Pujols, obviously, but to build around a guy, you know, one of the players to build with, I was shocked what the Cardinals did. I was just, but you know what? I got to give Alex Anthopoulos a lot of credit. He's made a lot. The last year, the trade with Escobar, the same thing.
Yep.
And you kept on pointing out the risk-reward was tremendous. This one, I think, is the same. And the fact that he got rid of Vernon, the man's a genius.
Well, he knows what he's doing. I don't think there's any question about that. And he takes advantage of these opportunities when they present themselves, whereas there are other people who will kind of be asleep at the switch or not be willing to, you know, there might have been other GMs who said, you know, I don't want to give up a Zach Stewart in this deal. Let's see if we can find somebody else. And then the deal winds up falling apart. So I give Alex a lot of credit for being willing to pull the trigger and for understanding that, you know, nobody's untouchable. And if you target somebody and you really want them, then you have to give something up to get them.
I just want to make one comment. I thought the Mets trade, that was a good trade for both teams. I thought, you know, San Francisco got a guy who could really produce for them this year in Beltran. And they got, you know, the pitcher that they were going for a long time from the Giants. So that was a trade that made sense to me for both teams. I just thought, I La Russa, sometimes I think he does things, you know, he thinks, you know, he invented the game of baseball sometimes.
Well,
so.
Hey, you know what? Bobby Cox did the same thing, right? The only reason that the Blue Jays got Yunel Escobar is because Bobby Cox couldn't get along with him. And the
beautiful.
Only reason the Blue Jays got Colby Rasmus is because Tony La Russa couldn't get along with him.
Yeah, but good for us, you know what I mean? If we can, Jose Bautista can have the influence he had on Escobar and can get Rasmus to play, I think it'll be another trade we'll look back like the Escobar trade and say that was a great trade.
Yeah, I think it will too. I'm not really looking for Jose Bautista to do anything about this, but yeah, I think, you know, all signs point to this being a very, very good trade for the Blue Jays. We're going to get back to your phone calls in a second, but first, let's listen in. John Farrell did not speak to the media before the game. We were all over Alex Anthopoulos about this trade, so we get to hear Farrell's thoughts about it and his thoughts about tonight's game. Here is the Blue Jays skipper.
On a night when we needed Ricky to go deep, he certainly did that. You know, he got into a much better rhythm from the third inning on. Much more consistent feel to his curveball and his cutter. And just did an outstanding job tonight. You know, pushed him a little bit in the ninth to give him an opportunity to try to finish that one out. But, you know, strike three that gets away from JP, hit batter. At that point, it was, you know, he had certainly done more than his job tonight. But just an outstanding performance on his part. JP, it's good to see him hit one in the seats. You know, we had a couple opportunities to spread it open a little bit. But, you know, the bases loaded situation didn't quite work out. And then Edwin with the one out double. And we couldn't convert there either. But on a day when the roster turned over a little bit, just an outstanding performance on Ricky's part.
John, speaking of all the moves today, I mean, obviously you have to give up something to get something. But as a guy who's close with the pitchers, to see the four of your guys go, including guys like Zepp and Fraser, who's been here so long?
Well, I think Jason's career here speaks volumes. You know, the amount of appearances, obviously that record was standing. And Zepp, we felt like, was a left-hander that was really starting to come into his own, a role that fit him well. But as you said, you've got to give up quality to get a quality player in return. And we're looking forward to Tehan, Rasmus, Miller, and Walters getting here and joining us. So I have yet to speak to each one individually in any kind of role or place in the batting order. You know, that will be done in due time. But for those guys to leave the organization, you know, Alex is endless in his pursuit to continue to improve the club. And, you know, you see a young guy like Zach Stewart, who came up and I thought handled himself very well, yet be part of a deal that is in the midst here. Not only quality players, but quality people that were here for either a long period of time or just in their first year in the organization.
What have you seen so far of a guy like Rasmus that, in terms of him fitting in with this organization and being able to help out with the team long term?
Well, the other thing, you know, firsthand was a three-game series in St. Louis. We know he's got well above average power for a left-handed hitter. He plays a very good center field, an area that, you know, when we have the ability to strengthen the middle of the diamond with a player of his caliber, you know, it certainly sets us up well. I know Alex spoke at length about the attributes of Colby. And what he means and how he fits into the current and long-term plan here. But we'll get more of a feel, obviously, day-to-day starting tomorrow.
Is there any concern, I guess, on your part, the The rumor is that he had possibly stopped listening to his coaches. Is that something that concerns you? Had you heard that? How do you react to hear something like that?
You know, we can't speak to what took place in St. Louis. All that we can do is create an environment in which he'll thrive in. I think we've been able to do that successfully with Yunel, as a similar situation with similar comments before his arrival here. But we're just looking forward to Colby getting in our uniform and working day to day with him.
I know you know, there's only so many positions and only so many people that can play on any given night, but is this what you consider one of those good problems where you have so many bodies that can play any, you know, certain positions and you can always fill out your roster?
Well, again, before we get into any kind of specifics with individuals, you know, Colby was brought here to play every day. And with all due respect to other outfielders that are here, other guys that are in our uniform, until we sit down and talk with them directly, we just wanted to go out and focus on tonight's game first before any of the guys traded for arrived. But we'll have an opportunity to talk to each one individually that may be affected either directly or indirectly with their arrival.
So there he is, John Farrell, not really tipping his hand on what's going to happen, shakedown in the outfield. But as he says, Colby Rasmus was brought in to play every day, and he was brought in to play center field. So I don't know if you even have to read between the lines to say Colby Rasmus is going to play center field every day for the Blue Jays. How else is it going to shake out? Probably Rajay Davis spends a lot of time on the bench, and Eric Thames spends a lot of time at designated hitter. But with Travis Snider struggling the way he is, I don't know. Snider has struck out in 6 of his last 7 at-bats, striking out 4 times tonight. But they have committed themselves to throwing him out there every day, and he's never going to achieve his potential if he doesn't get regular playing time. We'll see. It'll be very interesting to see how the Jays handle that. We have time for one more call before we extendo it up, and it's going to be Adrian in Toronto. Adrian.
Good evening, Mike.
Evening.
I will count myself as one of those who are very happy with the Rasmus acquisition. But I just want to talk about Zach Stewart a bit. He's going to Chicago.
Yep.
Even up to, I would say, last week, I think there was some healthy optimism about him being one of the future pitchers for Toronto.
Sure.
What was it about him that made him expendable? Because I actually have his minor league stats in front of me, and I know stats don't always tell the story with minor leaguers, but I noticed when he repeated double A last year and this year, if I'm correct, right?
Well, kind of, because when he was in double A with the Reds, he was a reliever.
Okay.
So it doesn't really count, but kind of.
Okay, because it looks like, I know we've talked a lot about Las Vegas when he pitched, or when anyone pitches in triple A, it tends to be a hitter's league.
Yes, but he's never pitched there. Right?
It looks like he pitched 11 games there in 2009.
Oh, right, right after they got him, they sent him to AAA, right.
And it does look like there's a fairly small sample, but it did look like his pitching statistics, like the ERA and the WHIP, did go up a bit. But then I'm looking at when he pitched in the Eastern League, which is also, I guess, because with Cincinnati, he pitched in the Southern League, AA, and then with New Hampshire in AA, he pitched in the Eastern League. And it looks like his stats were significantly worse. Now, is the Eastern League, is that something that had something to do with the Eastern League hitters, or was there something that the Jays saw in him that made him, you know, expendable?
No, I don't think it had anything to do with poor performance on the part of Zach Stewart. I think it was that this was the guy that the White Sox wanted. This was the piece it took to make this deal, and the Blue Jays were willing to part with him because they're so deep in young starting pitching that there's a wave of starting pitching behind Zach Stewart, and then they, you know, depending on how many guys they sign over the course of the next 3 weeks, there's going to be another wave of guys coming up behind there. And that's why you know, I've said many, many times on this program and others, it's way easier to trade arms for bats than the other way around, and that's why you suck up as many arms as you can possibly get. I don't think, you know, I think the Blue Jays would have been very, very pleased to have Zach Stewart as part of their starting rotation in the future. But he's the guy they had to give up. The Blue Jays took down the Baltimore Orioles. 3-0 was the final score. We are going to extendo the Jays talk on the other side all the way to 11 o'clock Eastern time on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 and fan590.com. We will be back with the scoreboard and a very interesting day. It is the Blue Jays Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, the Blue Jays shut down the Orioles 3-0. J. Pierre and CB goes deep. Rajay Davis steals a couple of bases and scores a run. Ricky Romero takes a four-hit shutout into the ninth, and John Rausch closes it out. Also, the Blue Jays kind of made a little bit of a big trade today. Let's check out the scoreboard. The Boston Red Sox beat the Royals 12-5. David Ortiz had a grand slam. The Mariners got a win. They beat the Yankees 9-2 to snap their 17-game losing streak. The L.A. Angels got a no-hitter. Irvin Santana threw it. He gave up a run, though, which is weird. But the Angels did win the ball game anyway, 3-1. And the Pirates and Braves, who went 19 yesterday, are in the bottom of the 10th right now, tied 1-1. This series will wrap up, and the Blue Jays will debut Colby Rasmus tomorrow night. We're on at 7 o'clock Eastern time for 7:07 first pitch. Carlos Villanueva against Brad. That's Brad Bergeson. You've been listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Rogers, a proud partner of the Toronto Blue Jays. This copyrighted broadcast is presented by authority of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership and may not be reproduced or retransmitted in any form. Any accounts and descriptions of this game may not be disseminated without the express written consent of Rogers Blue Jays Baseball Partnership or the Blue Jays Radio Network. Stick around on our flagship station, Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590 and fan590.com for the Extendo Jays Talk. For Jerry Howitt, Alan Ashby, Tom Young, Joseph Chilley, and Joel McFadden, good night.
The pitch, Aaron Sebia drives deep to left field. Watch it at the wall. This one is gone. J.P. Aaron Sebia has gotten hot with the long ball bat. This is number 16 on the year, and it gives the Blue Jays a 3-0 lead.
How about that? J.P. Aaron Sebia with his 16th home run of the season. He is only four away from the Blue Jays' single-season record for catchers. And that made it 3-0, and that was your final score as the Blue Jays beat the Baltimore Orioles here at Rogers Center tonight. On a big night for the Jays, when it all shakes out, the Blue Jays wind up trading Jason Fraser, Zach Stewart, Octavio Dotel, Mark Zepchinski, Corey Patterson, and three players to be named later, or cash, in exchange. They get Colby Rasmus, Mark Tian, Trevor Miller, P.J. Walters, and Brian Tallett, who is on the disabled list right now. Miller and Walters will be in the bullpen tomorrow night. Tian will be in uniform, and Colby Rasmus will be as well. We expect that Brad Mills, who was brought up just for today in case, will be sent back down to Las Vegas before tomorrow's game. We're taking your phone calls at 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell, and long distance, 1-888-666-0590. And let's go to Terry in Orillia. You're up on the Extendo Jays Talk.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
I want to talk about Travis Snyder.
Sure.
I think you're wrong on this guy. I think he's got a major league hole in his swing, and I think Jay should trade him. I think they should package him with somebody and get rid of him before he continues to reduce his value. I know he's a young guy. I know he's a nice guy. I know he's a real gentleman. But what is this, the fourth time he's come up? He has a couple of good games, but he's got a major hole in his swing. Like, he pulls away from that low-sinking curveball, and the guy keeps striking out. He's running into the same, digging the same hole that he's dug about three times that he's been called up.
So if you feel that way about him,
right?
What do you expect they would be able to get in trade for him?
I was going to ask you. That's what I'm wondering. I mean, what would his value be right now? I mean, does he have any value out there? I mean, obviously his value has been reduced. I mean, he's been given quite a few shots. But, like, right now, like, I'm watching the game tonight. I mean, I just got the feeling.
Well, it's a tough game.
It's
a tough game to judge him on. This is, you know.
I feel like he just, I don't know, whether he loses his confidence.
No, you know what? I'll tell you why you got that feeling. You got that feeling because he struck out four times tonight. That's why you got that feeling. But
why did I get it after the first strikeout?
Because you're a Blue Jay fan. That's the way a lot of Blue Jay fans think.
The guy is stuck on what?
Listen, I'll tell you this. Your comments are not unfair. He has struggled. And
don't get me wrong, I like the guy. I think he's a gentleman, but
well, it doesn't matter whether he's a gentleman or not.
A major league hole in his swing.
Yeah, I know. You've said that three times already. Let me answer. He's 23 years old. Colby Rasmus, who they just traded for today, who people are over the moon about, and with good reason, is 24 years old. Eric Thames, who everybody loves, is also 24 years old. It takes a lot of time to become a good hitter in the major leagues, and it also takes a lot of time when you've kind of been screwed around over the first little while. It's not as though Travis Snyder has been up here four different years, and every year they've said, okay, go out there and hit, and let's see what happens. That hasn't happened at all with Travis Snyder. It's been, okay, let's see if you can hit righties. And then, okay, we'll play every day. Unless you have a bad game against a lefty, then we're not going to play against lefties. Okay, we're not going to use you if a right-hander comes into the game late because we'd rather have our righty in there. All right, now you can play every other day, and you can be a platoon leadoff man with Fred Lewis. He's never really gotten an opportunity, even this year. He was given that opportunity and then shipped down at the end of April. So I would love to see Travis Snyder get 500 at-bats in a major league season and see what happens before you give up on him.
What about there's like 58 games left in the year.
Yep.
What about if he plays the next 58 games and he keeps screwing himself further and further into this hole? I mean, what do you do with him then?
Then you know what you've got.
So you're saying that continue to play him the rest of the year, and come the end of the year, if he's batting under 200, you'll have seen enough to say that this guy is basically toast.
No, I would never say that about a 23-year-old. I think that's ridiculous. But I would say if he winds up hitting under 200, playing every day for the next 2 months, and strikes out a bazillion times, then you know what? I feel safe to say that chances are I was wrong on him.
Okay.
All right?
We'll watch.
Okay, we will. And let's hope he continues to get the chance to play every day. Sam is in Kitchener. Sam.
Mike, I just called about 2 weeks ago. We had a good little discussion about maybe getting Rasmus for Pat and even getting rid of Patterson at the same time.
There you go.
And I got laughed at it. A lot of comments and blogs and stuff for it, but I knew we could do it. Publis is amazing.
Well, I'm sure you weren't talking about Zach Stewart or Mark Zepchinski or...
Well, I said we'd throw it. I said, remember, I suggested Thames, two relievers, and Patterson. I know Zach
okay.
Stewart's a bigger give up, but
much.
Still, it's still an amazing deal for us, and better than any, than a lot of kind of the reasonable Jays fans or whatever would say, than they would have anticipated. We absolutely robbed. Cardinals fans are furious. Like,
well, and they should be, because, you know,
four-win guaranteed guy per season playing center field, and we didn't really give up any guarantees, anything at all. I mean, Rasmus.
Well, they didn't get any guaranteed anything at all either.
Well, his batting average balls in play has been way down this year. I think he's just been having bad luck combined with bad managing in St. Louis.
Yeah, and I think he's in a situation where he's not happy, and hopefully things will turn around. But there are by no means any guarantees on his performance.
Well, I think he's going to be better than what we have in center field, and that's a guarantee.
You certainly hope so.
And if I could say one other unrelated topic, I did stay up to watch the Pirates last night.
Wow.
I've joined in this kind of, they're America's team, and they're kind of a second team to watch because the Jays probably aren't going to be making the playoffs this year. And we've got to get robot umpires or instant replay or a combination of both, and it's ridiculous. I mean, it's like insisting on doing a science experiment using equipment from 100 years ago exclusively. There's absolutely no reason to include the so-called human error or human element. What you're really talking about is human error that can easily be corrected with machines. It just doesn't make sense.
I am with you 1,000%.
Anyway, thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Sam. Appreciate the call. Ed in Toronto, you're up next on the Extendo.
Hi there. Just wanted to ask a couple actually ask one question and comment on the trade.
Sure.
First, I wanted to say that I think Stewart really showed me a lot makeup-wise, his short stay here, and I think that people tend to underestimate him because of his stuff and think that perhaps he's not going to be as significant a contributor as Drabek, who's got, like, obviously front of the rotation stuff. But I think Stewart really, to me, in the limited action I saw, he demonstrated to me somebody who got it as far as pitching was concerned, but we'll see.
If he is, you know, the Blue Jays have a surplus. So the he's a guy that they could afford to give up in a deal like this.
Yeah, but I think sometimes what happens is people make decisions purely based on stuff instead of makeup and pitchability. And I look at a guy like him compared to Drabek, and you think, wow, you know, Drabek's stuff is like, flaming, breaking balls and so on. But you look at Stewart, and you think his stuff is a little more pedestrian, but he might know how to pitch a bit better, but might know how to get people out a bit more and how to handle himself on the mound. And that's kind of where I lean toward pitchers. I look at a guy like Jimmy Key, and people would have said, you know, what does he really have stuff-wise to get people out? But he really knew how to get a better out. I mean, he just knew.
No, and that's not an unfair statement, but the question is, does that mean you would have dangled Drabek in this trade, or you don't like the trade because they traded Stewart, or what?
Well, I guess the second part of my question will really kind of give rise to that, because the issue I have with the trade is that I don't really know what the trade is yet, because the three players to be named later or cash part kind of scared me, and I wasn't sure if it was possible that one or all three of those players could end up becoming like real contributors in the minor leagues on the Jays side, can they pay cash, or do they actually have to give players, depending on what St. Louis wants?
Well, it's up to St. Louis. It doesn't matter whether they can be contributors in the minor leagues at all.
No.
I mean, I think
prospects.
Well, the deal, the fact that it's or cash really says to me that none of them are terribly important. That these are probably organizational guys and people that will fit in and fill out minor league rosters and stuff like that. Since, you know, if you can't decide, if there's nobody you like out of this list, take cash. If they're legitimate prospects, I don't think there would be anybody that you wouldn't like. I don't think there would be much of an opportunity to have a full list with nobody you like on it.
Okay, well, if that's the case, then I actually do like the trade, because the ceiling, the potential for return is quite high. I think that Scrabble is going to end up becoming a 3-4 starting pitcher in the National League over the midterm of this deal. So from St. Louis's side, I don't think it's as big a bomb as they think it is. I think they're looking at, a lot of the blogs are looking at him as a lefty specialist only and not really having much to contribute to the rotation. But I think we know what he can eventually become by seeing some of that here, and how he's used short-term may be different from how he's used long-term, and Dotel definitely has something to contribute bullpen-wise to them this year. So I think if that's the case and those three players aren't significant, then I think it was a gamble worth taking. And again, AA, what can you say about him except hushed awe?
Okay, Ed. Thank you for the call. And you know what? If Mark Zepchinski goes there and performs well, and Dotel and Edwin Jackson, and if Zach Stewart goes to Chicago and becomes a very good pitcher, that's good. You know, the more teams that do better in a trade, the better a trade is. And you shouldn't say that, it only works out if the guy the Jays got winds up being way better than anybody that the Blue Jays gave up. We need to go to an update, because updates are important, and Andrew Nye is equally important. But when he's done, we will be back and take more of your phone calls on the Extendo Jays Talk. Big trade today, and then a win. Good day for the Blue Jays. It's Sportsnet Radio, the Fan 590.
Simone's 1-2 pitch.
Drilled to right field. That's a base hit. Davis scores. Unel to second. And the Blue Jays lead the Orioles 2-0. Rajay Davis, a perfect 8-for-8, stealing second and third in the same inning. And eight times he's come around to score.
That's pretty impressive. Rajay Davis has stolen second and third in the same innings eight times. And he scored each of those eight times. And I didn't think it was going to happen today, because it needed a big two-out hit. And he got it from Eric Thames. Rajay Davis now with 31 stolen bases. He's been caught 10 times. Part of the Blue Jays' big 3-0 win over the Baltimore Orioles. Jays made a huge trade today. They pick up Colby Rasmus from the St. Louis Cardinals, who is a center fielder, 24 years old, first-round draft pick, five-tool player, has all-star potential. And along with him, they get relievers Brian Tallett, Trevor Miller, and P.J. Walters, and Mark Tian, who is a utility guy, first, third, left, right, Canadian father. Played for Canada in the World Baseball Classic in 2009. And in exchange, they give up Zach Stewart, Jason Fraser, Mark Zepchinski, Octavio Dotel, and Corey Patterson. Jason Fraser was the longest tenured Blue Jay, and he is the Blue Jays record holder for pitching appearances. He set that record earlier this month, and we all, media-wise, met with Fraser just before the game.
It's strange. You know, it's I can't believe it actually happened. You know, but you know, it's gonna be all right, I think. I can't believe it's Chicago, you know, of all teams, of all cities. But there's a couple positives to come out of this. Going to a pennant race, never been in a pennant race. You know, that's why we play, right? To try and win it all. That's very exciting, and it's probably the best case scenario for my wife and my family. Now she has my family to lean on. You know, we could have been shipped to, you know, Tokyo or something, and we don't know anybody. We don't know. I don't have any family, but it's gonna be all right. But it's gonna be hard to leave here. It kind of reminds me of the Escobar trade. You know, if he's a high ceiling guy, you take a chance on him, and he's turned out to be great. You know, one of the elite shortstops. I kind of see Rasmus, you know, in the same light. He's one for one with a homer off me, so I really like him. You know, it just seems like a high-ceiling guy, and he's, what, 24, 25 or something like that. So I think it's worth the risk. You know, I'm just really excited about, you know, meaningful August-September baseball. It's always meaningful, but, you know, when you're playing to get in those playoffs, it's even more special.
So there he is, Jason Fraser. He has traded to Chicago. He was a Cubs fan growing up. He's going to have to make sure White Sox fans don't find out about that. But a real class act, a total pro, and I, you know, wish him the best of luck. He was a great Blue Jay. As much as people on this program love to pick on him and hate, he really was a terrific Blue Jay. Let's get back to the phone calls as the Jays Talk Extendo Style continues with Patrick in Toronto. Hey, Patrick.
Yeah, hi, Mike. First-time caller. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm liking the deal we did today, but my question is more about the starting rotation. I was excited about Jackson coming over, maybe filling in number three. How do you feel about the starting rotation right now, and do you think the Jays are going to do anything in the immediate future to improve it? I'll hang up and listen to your comment.
Okay. I don't like when people hang up and listen, but okay.
I'll comment on your comment.
Good, because I like having a conversation.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, Edwin Jackson would have been here for the rest of this season and then was a free agent, and he's just barely hanging on to type B. So he might not have gotten them anything in return. So in order to get a return like a Colby Rasmus, you spin him, no problem. I really like Romero, Moro, Cecil. I really like Drabek. I think it's going to take time. And they've got a ton of stuff coming up underneath him. They have found money in Carlos Villanueva this year. You've got Luis Perez, who has proven, I think, he can pitch in the big leagues and deserves an opportunity. You have Jesse Litch, who, you know, don't sleep on Jesse Litch. He's fine, and there's not a thing wrong with Jesse at the bottom of your rotation. And then you've got this wave coming up behind Zach Stewart with your Henderson Alvarezes and Deck McGuire, who made his Double-A debut today. And there are a lot of good young pitchers on this team. And even though Zach Stewart was a good young pitcher on this team, they could afford to move him.
Right. Between Snyder and Thames, who do you think could lose more time there with Rasmus coming in?
I think Edwin Encarnacion is going to lose the most time.
Could
there.
You see Thames in the DH spot?
Yes, very much.
Yeah, I see that too.
Yeah, I definitely think Eric Thames is going to get a lot of time at DH.
So Snyder is pretty much a fixture, at least for the first month or two, we see.
Oh, I would think so. Travis Snyder's been an excellent defensive outfielder, and he's a good bat. And I know he didn't have a good night tonight, and I know he's struggling right now, but at some point in time, you've just got to say, just go. Go get him, and let's see what happens.
Right.
All right?
All right. Thanks very much.
Thank you, and thanks for not hanging up and listening.
Yeah,
much appreciated.
You.
We move on to Jamie in Toronto.
Hello, sir.
Hello, sir.
I have a kind of a long-winded question, actually.
All right.
Because Mark Szczepanski has been traded for essentially Ryan Tellett. I know it's not one for one or anything like that.
Not even remotely close to that. But
I'm thinking, like, will Brian Tellett get the start Sunday against
no.
Texas?
No, Brian Tellett's on the disabled list.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
So there you go. But he wouldn't have any. It wouldn't have been a consideration to start.
Oh, I thought maybe Luis Perez would have gotten the chance to fill Zabchinski's spot.
I think he ultimately might, but I think, you know, that you might get more out of him as a starting pitcher. Perez was optioned on July 19th, which means 10 days. He could potentially start Saturday, but it's very difficult for me to imagine that he'd be stretched out enough to be able to do that.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. That wasn't long-winded at all. Thanks for the call. There's a chance that P.J. Walters makes that start, but I still think it's probably Jesse Litch. Kyle, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, Mike. I must say I'm extremely happy about the trade. Got rid of a bunch of guys who weren't going to be here next year anyways. Rousmith, I watched the game on TV today. Can't believe I already saw a Rousmith jersey. That was amazing.
Rasmus,
my apologies.
That's okay. Some people are calling him Rasmus. Some people are calling him Rosmus.
Yeah, you got to love the way they spell names. Who knows?
Yeah.
I'm thinking what all Blue Jays fans should really be glad at. It's an old Blue Jay that's probably caused this trade. Considering Chris Carpenter is having one hell of a rough year, that means they're going out looking for pitching, and luckily we have a whole bunch of it to give.
That's a very interesting piece. I think it's more Tony La Russa than anything else that caused this trade, but that factors into it. If Chris Carpenter was pitching better, they might not be as desperate for pitching, no question.
Yeah, I think what Alec Anthopoulos has got to do is go find out what other nice young starters are out there that the managers aren't happy with, and maybe we can get all of them. Looking good so far.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate the call. And Alex is definitely looking. Definitely always looking. Donald in Toronto, you're next.
Good evening, Mike.
Hello.
I'm saddened and a little upset at the departure of Jason Fraser, who you just mentioned there in nice terms. 80% of the time when he came in, he did the job, and you said he wouldn't be here next year. Was that because of a salary? So, like, he wanted more money? Or
no, because he the Blue Jays had a club option on him, but he probably would have been a type B free agent, so they would have been able to get a sandwich pick for him had he declined arbitration. And he's 34 years old, and as wonderful a job that Jason Fraser did, Jason Fraser's a guy you move in a deal like this.
I see. I just want to make one other comment. You may or may not like it, but Mark Tehan, Brian Tellett, no better, in my opinion, no better than a batting practice pitcher, and Trevor Miller, I mean, they're all no good.
Trevor Miller's having a really rough year this year. Brian Tallett's hurt, and Mark Tehan's having a terrible year this year. You're absolutely right, but it doesn't matter.
But they're not going to help the Jays, though.
It doesn't matter.
Oh.
Because it's not about helping the Blue Jays over the last 58 games of this season. It's about getting Colby Rasmus. It's about hopefully having your center fielder for the next 10 years who is going to be an all-star. And that's what it takes in order to get guys like that. That's what they say.
Okay. What is the Edwin Jackson? What's he all about? What is his record now?
I don't know. It doesn't matter. Edwin Jackson is now a St. Louis Cardinal. He was, again, a guy who's he's a guy who's played on like 170 teams so far in 7 years in the big leagues.
That tells it all, then.
He's actually 7-7. You wanted to know he's 7-7, an ERA just under 4. He is 27 years old. This will be legitimately exaggeration-free if you count the Blue Jays. The Cardinals are the seventh team that he's been on in a 9-year career in the major leagues. He has a great arm, but he's going to be a free agent after the season and really wasn't a future thing for the Jays.
All right. Thank you very much, Mike.
All right. No problem.
Bye-bye.
Appreciate the call. And that's the thing. I mean, you can't really think of it in terms of, you know, what are Miller and P.J. Walters and Mark Tehan going to do for the Blue Jays for the rest of this year? Because, honestly, it doesn't matter. They're 52-52. They're 10 games out of the playoffs. Although with the win tonight, they're 10 games out of the playoffs. They're not going to make the playoffs. And it really doesn't matter if they win 76 games or if they win 80 games or if they win 84 games. Jim's in Toronto. Hey, Jim.
Mike.
Jim.
It's me, Jim.
Hey, Jim, it's you.
Mike, I heard you on the radio today when you were being interviewed by one of the other guys, I can't remember who, and you received some news at that time about a player move or something, right? Or was that just the cease that somebody was starting, that Cecil was called up or somebody else was called up?
Today?
Yeah, you were on the radio.
Oh, yeah, it was Brad Mills who was being called up.
Okay, was that the news you had just got? You said, really? But at one point, you seemed shocked by some news.
I'm sorry, it's been a very busy day.
Okay,
I think
that
the really may have been...
Let's forget about that, Mike.
Okay.
I want to ask you this.
Yep.
This Colby Rasmussen, okay, now you say he has all-star potential.
Yep.
Now, you're my professor of baseball.
Oh, Lord. Well, then let me tell you, I'll give you a big red X to this point and say it's Rasmus.
Okay, Rasmus.
Okay.
Well, I don't, that's why I'm a 101 and you're a 404.
Well, I appreciate
since,
that.
Since you're I figure if you're a professor, you got to be a theorist. So, this is sort of whatever, going back and projecting. Okay, now you see this guy as an all-star. Now, I want to know who this guy kind of reminds you of. Does he remind you of any J center fielder or another center fielder?
No, I hate doing that.
Great or
I hate doing that. I really, I don't think it's fair to the player. I think it sets up unrealistic expectations.
Don't do that. But okay, then just tell me, how does he play center field?
Like, I've only seen the guy play probably 5 times.
Yeah.
So I'm certainly not an authority on Colby Rasmus in center field. But I will tell you this. The people who watch him all the time say that he is fast. He's got a good arm for a center fielder. He's got good range. His value is with the bat, but his glove carries in center field, which is very difficult to do. Now, Travis Snyder has played a terrific center field for the Blue Jays, but Colby Rasmus is better. And Colby Rasmus is a guy who can play center field in the major leagues and can play it well, and he's a 5-tool player. So there you go.
He's a gold glover potential?
Why does he have to have gold glove potential? Let him just be a good defensive center fielder and be happy about that.
I am happy.
Okay,
about
good,
that.
Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I'm glad. No, it doesn't. He doesn't have to be the best center fielder in the league or anything like that. This is a guy who has the ceiling, and his ceiling is perennial all-star in center field. So, he may not make you forget Devon White defensively, but he's going to get the job done and do it well, and he is going to hit. Mark Zepchinski was one of the Blue Jays what was traded today, and I got a chance to speak to him like I did Fraser before it all got started, and it was a brief Blue Jays career, but a fun one, a really good guy. Here's my conversation with Zep.
Both GMs say the trade's not going to get done unless you're in it. That must make you feel really good.
It just goes in the show that I think I've done well in the organization for the past year, and Alex had enough faith in me to get me, basically. You know, I loved my time here in Toronto. It's been great. Did it come as a kind of a shock? Yeah, but in the same sense, I get to go play for a new team in a new city, but the good thing is the game's still the same.
And it's a team that's in first place as well. Can you have imagined, say, coming into spring training this year, that you would be traded as that late inning lefty that teams are dying for?
No, it's definitely been a different kind of year coming in from a start, being a possibility of being a starter, to get turned into a reliever, and then 3 months later go play for a Hall of Fame coach, or will be when he retires, and just going out there and then have the possibility of pitching in late inning ball games, and for a team that's in first place right now. So could you plan it any better this year or any different this year? No, but in the same sense, I'm happy. I was having my good times here, and I've been happy here, and then hopefully get to start new memories down in St. Louis.
And Mark Zepchinski, like Jason Fraser, is off to a pennant race. Fraser's Chicago White Sox are 3.5 games behind the Detroit Tigers for first place in the American League Central. Zepchinski's St. Louis Cardinals, as we speak, are a half game ahead of Milwaukee and a game ahead of Pittsburgh in the Central. We wish them luck. Thanks for the calls. Thanks to all who listened. Thanks to Tom Young and Faso and Sicilia. We will see you tomorrow.